9:06, September 12th. I will call to order the Dallas City Council meeting, an agenda meeting for today. I hope everybody brought their peanut butter and went out and donated this morning. And I think Ms. Medrano was out there collecting that. Yesterday was 9/11, and many of us honored that day in several unique ways. I was pleased to see the city of Dallas reaching out to those less fortunate in that day, and also honoring our first responders. We decided to have our first responders be with us this morning, and I would like to introduce to you, to do the invocation, is Chaplain Willie Range. He's the fire rescue officer, has been a member of the department since 1979, serving as the chaplain for the department. He's been licensed ordained minister since 1994. Chaplain Range is dedicated in serving the ministers, members of the DFR and their families. And then doing the Pledge of Allegiance is Lieutenant Tina Anderson. Lieutenant Anderson has been a member of the Dallas Fire Rescue Department since 2001. She has served the department as a firefighter and paramedic and is currently assigned to the EMS Bureau. Lieutenant Anderson is also a registered nurse from Baylor Hospital. Chaplain, Lieutenant, it's great to have you. Chaplain, please lead us in the invocation before they can rise.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you because you've done so much for us, each of us as individuals, towards our jobs and towards our families. We thank you for this recognition today, those who dedicate their lives, not only fire, police, or others, but also everyone in this room who are dedicated to the betterment of mankind. Let us leave this place better than when we came out, and keep it upon our minds that you did not place us here just to receive a paycheck, but you placed us here to save people who need our help through you. In the blessed name of your Son, we recognize all the religions in this building. Through your name, we thank you. Amen.
Amen. Lieutenant Anderson.
Please join me in the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, and please pass our well wishes on to your comrades. Thank you, Ms. Rios. We will take our morning speakers.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We're going to begin your morning speakers with Trina Trish, Gustavo Gonzalez, Michael Kohler, Teddy Hawkins, and Jolene Holland. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room, give the sergeant at arms to such director by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Individuals are allowed to minister speak. Please state your name and address for the record and address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. Your first speaker is Trina Trish.
Ohio Gustavo, which is good morning in Japanese, to the mayor, to the city council, and to all under my voice. I thank God for you. Today I'm going to speak on the protocol of speaking on a consent agenda item. Let me say that there was a tea party a long time ago where a group of people got together and they said we will not be taxed without being able to speak. And therefore this country was founded on taxation with representation, meaning that we are a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. No longer should we sit at the table and complain about the economy or the government when there's a round table right here at the council meeting, where our public servants are supposed to hear our voice and then listen to what we say. Their agenda is our agenda, not their agenda. And to those in the city of Dallas that don't understand the protocol, I'm here to let you know that this economy you are complaining about, you can do something about by coming and let your voice be heard. The rule is that the city council shall hear speakers who wish to comment on matters that are scheduled on the city council's voting consent and individual items for that date. They also hear open mic speakers like myself. Upon completion of any speakers allowed to speak under the subsection 6.3 to speak at the beginning of the meeting, a person who registers to speak on a voting item other than a public hearing item, we are called at the time that that item is to be voted on, and we give our comments. Hopefully discussion is taken, and what we say is taken into consideration before they decide to say yay or nay. Then we are to speak on all items if there are multiple items, so that, and we have 3 minutes to speak on them. But the bottom line is, nobody, according to the Constitution, that gives us the First Amendment right to petition our government, and then says that no government in Amendment 14 shall create a law that shall violate that law. Nobody is denied the right to speak to their governing official before they take a vote. This is still one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all the people, all the time. May God bless you all. Amen.
Your next speaker is Gustavo Gonzalez.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, members of the City Council, Ms. Soom. I'm here to speak to you, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to take these few moments and to speak for the voiceless. There are many segments of our community that are voiceless, and the segment that I want to address or speak to you about today is the senior community impoverished. Now, heretofore, the City Council has designated $100,000 for an emergency home repair item, which would not be under the block grant, and with its eligibility requirements and its glacial application process. We all live in rhythm. Our lives are routines and patterns. And for us, when our pattern is disrupted by something unexpected, an accident, damage to our house, replacement of a major appliance, we have the resources with which we can respond and adjust. We have savings, we have insurance, we have family, we have our regular income, we have a network of neighbors or congregations that can rise and assist us. But for many elderly and impoverished seniors, and I'm speaking about for a single, $15,000 is the poverty level. And there's 13% of, this is a digression, 13% of the population of Dallas is qualified as seniors. And of that, 14% are below the poverty level. So for them, they're alone, isolated, bereft of savings, without insurance, on fixed income. And that requires the discipline to allocate resources for specific needs. And, of course, like shelter and nutrition, medication, medical treatment, transportation, etc. So, if they suffer one of these accidents that we deal with in our own lives, whether it be a lightning strike or a tree that falls and breaks one of our windows or their windows, or an uninvited intruder, a four-legged tenant in the attic that chews and gnaws through our electrical wiring, or invites the family and falls through the ceiling, creates a gaping hole. Or if we in our absent-minded, or I'm speaking about this constituency, suffer a stove fire that produces minor damage, but still we need the resources in order to respond to that and repair. They have no place except for what used to be designated under the city's budget as $100,000. And these minor repairs anticipate that there will be some expenditures of a few hundred.
Hold for a long more time.
Second.
And so these expenditures will allow them these few hundred dollars to repair that bar that is necessary in order for them to use the facilities. Or perhaps along the hallway, allowing them to walk thereon, or to paint that kitchen that's smoke damaged, or to repair that ceiling or the leaky roof, the burst of a pipe and the flooding of that roof, the wood warps, and it requires some minor repair. So I urge you to reconsider and to reassign $100,000 for this emergency purposes. I remind you in closing that I am already a member, but all of you are members in waiting of that senior community. And with Providence, then you will ultimately become seniors. Thank you for your time and thank you for your consideration.
Thank you very much, Mr. Gonzalez. For those of you that don't know, he is our chair of the Senior Affairs Commission, so I appreciate your volunteerism on that as well. Thank you. I'm sorry, Ms. Hasso.
Thank you, Mayor, and I wanted to thank personally Mr. Gonzalez and his wife and the other Senior Affairs Commission member for being here today. I think what you said was very, very eloquent and certainly something we need to take a look at. Our senior community, as you have stated, is a very important community in the city. We want to be sure that we provide as much help that we can. And so I think we will be looking at where we are with budget, but certainly I thank you for bringing that to our attention. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Judge Gonzalez, in addition to being the chair of our Senior Affairs Commission, Gustavo Gonzalez was a long-serving, exceptionally serving municipal judge with whom I had the great privilege and honor of serving. I'm glad to see you here this morning. I'm grateful to see you continuing to serve this community. I appreciate what you did before, and I appreciate what you're doing now. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Your next speaker is Michael Kohler. Mr. Kohler will be followed by Teddy Hawkins.
Mr. Mayor, Angela Hunt, and the entire City Council. Good morning. My name is Michael Kohler, sometimes known as Michael Motorcycle. This is for the Knox Henderson area and the trolley to come through there. I came in there 31 years ago when it was boarded up. I put a hair salon in there. And I had a great clientele, and many of them are still with me. I love the area. I was first elected the first president of that area, and it wasn't my intention to do that. That was just to organize the area. Then I helped start the Katy Trail. I care about Dallas and the parks and downtown. I came with Bedell Sassoon downtown in 1973 from Chicago. I love it here. When I was first at Knox Henderson, it looked like a hunk of coal with just a little sparkle in it. Now it's a diamond. It's only getting better. We have to give people faith in that it is working, what we want to accomplish. I want to bring the trolley down from downtown, the arts district, the museums, etc., to uptown, all the way down McKinney, which isn't far. It used to go that way. Have it wrap around Alfieri's restaurant and come back down Cole. We got the Katy Trail right there, too. We also have SMU and the new George Bush Library that's about to open. And we don't want to be like Chihuly going to the Arboretum and there be no parking. Right now, there's no parking in our area. It is maxed out. So we need some help with this. And if we can get this going quicker than what it's going, I know it's going to Oak Cliff. Now, we need to maybe do this part first with some of that money. And we need to flow like water. If we see a boulder in our way, in our life, or in this pursuit, we need to flow around that boulder. Any little crack we're going through, there is no hope in this. It is working. You just have to be able to flow with it and go round, over, around any obstacle. Sometimes you have to freeze and be still and look for a crack. That little crack will open. The parking situation will be lessened, and also pollution. There's some new big money people who bought up the area. We're going to be redoing the sidewalks, put bicycle paths on Knox there. I'm not sure how that's going to work, but it will work. And thank you.
Your next speaker is Teddy Hawkins. Mr. Hawkins will be followed by Jolene Holland.
Teddy Hawkins. I want to give honor to the mayor, good friend on the council, Caraway. Let me say, first of all, it's not a crime when the police first appears for an individual to run. First of all, it's smart to get out of the line of fire, because when the police are first appears, you don't know what's about to happen. There are trends that illustrate risky behavior. Matter of fact, I'm the president of two advisory councils in South Dallas, and I haven't ran into the police in about 2 years. In the last 2 days, I've ran into them twice. Efforts to erase, or rather, police repeatedly place themselves in harm's way, forcing confrontation where they have no choice but to shoot. Those shootings were legally justified, but just because a shooting is legal doesn't mean it had to happen. The Review Journal found several trends that illustrate risky behavior. A quarter of police shootings start with an officer chasing someone on foot, dubbed an inherently dangerous action by law enforcement experts because chases can escalate to potentially fatal confrontations. About 20% of department shootings involve firing a car, often by officers who needlessly put themselves in danger of being run down or violated department policy by shooting at a fleeing driver who represents no imminent danger to anyone. 11% of people shot by police since 1990 have been unarmed, and those shootings have increased in recent years. About half of the unarmed people shot by police were black, made up of a minority percent of the population. They represent a majority of the shooting suspects. A comparison to shooting in the nation's two biggest cities in 2010 alone is also illustrative. Last year, Las Vegas police shot people 25 times, killing 8. The New York City Police Department with 13 times more officers covering a population 6 times larger, shot 34 times, killing 8. And as of August 3rd, 2012, the Dallas police officer shot at folks 12 times, killing 8, making the Dallas Police Department with one of the most deadliest policies in this country. And we want to invite middle-class African-Americans to come stay in the city. We want to present a burn package to the city with a police department that has one of the deadliest policies in this country. Law enforcement experts say even communities that support local police can lose confidence in a department that seems too quick to shoot.
Thank you.
The next speaker is Jermaine Hawley. Not present. Mr. Mayor, that concludes your morning speakers.
Thank you.
We will proceed now with your consent agenda. Your consent agenda consists of agenda items number 2 through 60 and addendum items number 1 through 2 through 3. There have been some changes from the pulled items list. Item 50 has been put back on the consent agenda. However, items number 42 and 43, which have to be considered collectively, have been pulled for individual consideration by Councilmember Grayson. Therefore, for your consideration, you have agenda items 2 through 41, 44 through 60, and addendum items number 1 through 3. You do have one speaker signed up on multiple items. That speaker is Trina Trish, and she will be speaking on agenda items 13, 15 through 17, 35, 41, 45 through 48, 49, 60, and addendum items 2 and 3. Ms. Trish, if you'll please come up to the podium. You will be allowed 2 minutes to speak.
Good morning, bonjour, adios, como se va. Hopefully I have everybody of every ethnicity. Good morning is German, bonjour is French, como se va is Italian, and everything else. I'm here again speaking on the consent agenda items. 13, law enforcement badges, $96,049. That's a lot of money for badges, but I love the police. Let them be recognized. Overtime reimbursement for the police is an item 41. I believe if it isn't for the wasteful spending that you approve in consent agenda items, it would be able to be paid on time. Now I'm going to go to items 16, 17, and 2. You have a service contract with a law firm for $1,439,660. You have a service contract with another law firm, increasing it from $150,000 to $200,000. And now you're authorizing a contract with another law firm. Do we have city attorneys? What do they do? I think there's the money for the badges right up in there. 35, an adjustment to the budget, amending an ordinance for the operating budget and the capital budget. What that means is that when you budget money in one place, you can reallocate it to something else. That's why when people look for the funds that you've already approved, they can't find it. You've moved it. Then I'm going to go to the big one. An increase, number 3, an increase in the contract to TISCO or TISO or whatever paving company. Then you authorize a contract with TISCO paving company, the lowest responsible bidder of 8. That's the game plan, to give it to the lowest responsible bidder that contributes to our campaign, and then you come back and now you increase their fees, making them no longer the lowest bidder. If any individual will look through this, they will see a pattern. Authorize a contract with Lee Lewis Construction for additional work increase of $54,000 or whatever, then authorize a contract with the same company who is the lowest responsible bidder, and you're paying them almost $7 million. I think that's where they find the money to shake the tree when they're ready to give you unexpected raises and everything else. An increase in a contract with Lena T. Ramsey. enter an agreement with Texas Department of Transportation for work, and then you increase an agreement with Texas Department for Transportation to work. And that's how it works all throughout the line. That's why getting a group of individuals, quality-based system, that can judge these contracts based on merit and give you the best company with the best bid, that will be ethical, and that will save this government money all the time.
Thank you, Ms. Fish.
Thank you, Ms. Fish. You may now vote on, we need a motion, Ms. Mayor.
Okay, well, I entertain a motion for the consent agenda. So moved. We have a second. Second, any discussion or comments? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. We have item also approval of the minutes of the August 22nd, 2012 City Council meeting.
We got a motion second. Any edits? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 42 is authorizing contract with Giselle Paving Company, lowest responsible bidder of ACE, for the construction of street paving, storm drainage, landscape, water, and wastewater main improvements for Dickerson Street from McCollum Boulevard to Frankfurt Road. Item number 43 is authorize a license agreement for Dallas Area Rapid Transit for the realignment and reconstruction of the railroad crossing from Dickerson Street from McCollum Boulevard to Frankfurt Road. These items do need to be considered collectively, and Councilmember Grayson pulled the item.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. I move to defer these two items for 2 weeks until the September 26th voting agenda.
Second. Okay, the motion is second. Any discussion on that deferment? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Addendum item number 4 is a motion to reconsider Ordinance 28741, adopted on August 22nd, 2012.
I will entertain a motion, Mr. Caraway.
Mayor, let me say, one, that on this particular item, I think that, one, I want to say I appreciate your leadership, and I think we as a council appreciate your leadership, and when there are concerns, I think working through those concerns are something that we should always set as a good practice. I believe that at the end of the day, working through, listening, and following your directions, and I personally appreciate it. I want you to know that. I think that that it will make for better decisions that we will see ourselves making down the road on behalf of our citizens. Respectfully, at this time, I think that we should pull our reconsideration at this time, and I'd ask for a motion to pull this item, and then forward after we go through proper procedures and process.
You'll make that motion to pull it. Do we have a second? Do we have any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Next item. Which I think gets rid of item 55 as well.
Agenda item 5, yes.
Okay.
Item number 61 is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. You have for your consideration to the Hyacinth Finance Corporation Board, Monique Allen is nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Medrano. That is your only nominee this morning.
A motion and second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. Item number 62 is an eminent domain item and will require a record vote. Item number 62 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of power of eminent domain if such becomes necessary to acquire approximately 15,256 square feet of land located near the intersection of Telephone Road and Dallas Avenue in Block 8326 and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the Southwest 120/96-inch water transmission pipeline project. Is there a motion?
So moved. We have a motion and second. Any discussion? We have to have a
record vote.
Record vote, correct?
Yes, sir. Please start voting. Have voted.
Everybody check.
Two votes present.
We got two votes and one vote. We got a
all have voted on the motion. Voting in favor, Councilmember Punch, Margolin, Davis, Hosso, Caraway, Allen, Coop, Mayor Rawlings, Councilmembers Alonso, Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, Councilmembers Grayson, Griggs, Cadane, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins, and Council Member Hill. The motion passes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Item number 63 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of power of eminent domain if necessary to acquire from the heirs at law of Eddie Campbell and Valerie Campbell a tract of land containing approximately 6,800 square feet of land located at 2306 Peabody, Dallas, Texas, near the intersection of Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard and South Central Expressway, and being all of lots 3 and 4 in City of Dallas Block 23/1302, South Park Edition, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the construction, use, and maintenance of a fire station. This item does require a record vote. Is there a motion?
Thank you.
Move to approve.
We've got a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Oh,
have a record vote.
All have voted on the motion. Voting in favor, Councilmembers Hunt, Margolin, Davis, Hosso, Caraway, Allen, Coop, Mayor Rawlings, Councilmembers Alonso, Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, Councilmembers Grayson, Griggs, Cadane, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins, and Councilmember Hill. The motion passes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Next item.
Following statement is being read into the record for items number 64 and 65. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of the case, and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. These two items, 64 and 65, will require 2 seconds. Item number 64 is authorize the second of 4 12-month renewal options to the grant agreement with the World Affairs Council of Dallas-Fort Worth for economic development and protocol services for the period October 1, 2012 through September 30, 2013.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion, Ms. Davis.
Mr. Mayor, we need an additional second, please.
Second.
Oh, excuse me, Ms. Margolin.
I appreciate it.
Do you want to say something?
Oh.
Okay. Thank you. So we have a motion and 2 seconds. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? The motion is carried.
Item number 65 is authorized on-site reconstruction of one home in accordance with the requirements of the Reconstruction Share Program Statement for the property located at 4102 Esmalda Drive. This item does require 2 seconds.
Thank you. Entertaining motion, Mr. Griggs.
Move approval.
We got a motion in 2 seconds. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Again, Mr. Mayor, that does conclude your agenda for the morning, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We will meet at 1 o'clock. There is a press conference in the flag room at 12 o'clock in regards to Better Dallas, Safer Dallas, and Chief Brown's areas, hotspot areas. Thank you very much.
Meeting recessed at 9:41.
Good afternoon. It is 1:06 p.m. We will reconvene the Dallas City Council meeting for the afternoon, considering zoning cases and issues thereof. I think we've got a quorum, so let's begin. Ms. Rios, I'm going to read the consent agenda.
Thank you. You have for your consideration, your zoning consent consists of agenda items number 66 through 71. I will read those into the record. Item number 66 is a public hearing regarding a City Plan Commission authorized hearing to determine proper zoning on property zoned a CRD1 community retail district with a D1 liquor control overlay and specific use permit number 1940 for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store of 3,500 square feet or less, with consideration given to providing for automatic renewals for specific use permit number 1940 on the southwest corner of Bruton Road and Masters Drive, and an ordinance granting an amendment to specific use permit number 1940. Item number 67 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to and renewal of specific use permit number 1685 for a bar, lounge, or tavern on property within the Tract A portion of Plan Development District number 269, the Deep Ellum near East Side Special Purpose District, on the northeast corner of Powder Street and Joey Alley. Number 68 is a public hearing regarding an application for an ordinance granting an expansion of subarea 2 within Plan Development District number 366, the Buckner Boulevard Special Purpose District, and a resolution accepting bid restrictions as volunteered by the applicant on property zoned in R-7.5A Single Family District on an interior lot west of South Buckner Boulevard, south of Rosemont Road. Item number 69 is a public hearing regarding a Landmark Commission authorized hearing to consider a historic district overlay on property zoned in AA Agricultural District on the south side of Haymarket Road, southwest of the intersection of Haymarket Road and Palomino Road, and an ordinance granting a historic district overlay. Item number 70 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a renewal of specific use permit number 1813 for a recycling collection center on property zoned in IR Industrial Research District on the northeast corner of Sylvan Avenue and Fabrication Street. Item number 71 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store of 3,500 square feet or less on property zoned within Subdistrict 2, Tract 1 of Plan Development District number 535, the CF Hong Special Purpose District number 3, with a D1 liquor control overlay on the northeast corner of CF Hong Freeway and St. Augustine Road. That is your consent agenda, Mr. Mayor. Addendum item number 6 was on the consent, but that was pulled for individual consideration by Councilmember Mozolan.
Thank you, Ms. Rios. I will entertain a motion for the consent.
Mr. Mayor, can I put item number 70 on an individual?
She wanted to pull something?
Okay. I'll need to call speaker.
So we've got all that was read without 70, right?
Right.
Okay, so I'll entertain a motion to that.
Mr. Mayor, I'll need to call the speaker.
Okay. Hold on. Let me just get a motion. A motion and a second. And Ms. Margolin, now you can go ahead and call the speaker.
Thank you. Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item number 66 through 69 and item number 71? Are there any speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Sir, if you'll please step up to the podium. You will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. If you'll please state your name and address for the record. You will address your comments to Mayor Rawlings.
And identify the item you'll be speaking to.
Item 67, the SUP approval for 3 years.
Your name and address, please, sir, and you may continue.
My name is Dave Murray, 2812 Elm Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226.
Please.
Begin, please. Just a moment of your time, please. I wanted to ask for a 5-year SGP approval rather than the 3-year that you're going to approve. And the reason I'm asking for it is because our business has been here 8 years. I've owned it 6. Recently, Miss Tammy Moss has come in as my partner 4 months ago. And we have worked very, very hard and put in approximately $700,000 of our life savings to build a business that we want the community to be proud of. This is our 4th year in a row that we are working with the Dallas Police Department, Lieutenant Paul Younger, Senior Corporal Robert Cockrell, Sergeant Dave Nofsinger, in putting together a charity ride benefiting families with terminally ill children. This year, we will be working with 2 families, several aides here. This is just helping me remember because I'm old. This year, this wonderful 2-year-old belongs to 2 of Dallas's finest, a mother and a father, both Dallas police officers. On the 23rd, we will be holding a fundraiser to raise $15,000 so that this child, her life may be extended. These here are 3 years past where we have worked with the Dallas Police Department, the Motors Division, and SWAT with their fundraisers. And last year, we needed to raise $7,000 to send yet another family with a terminally ill child to Disney World as their last request. We raised $8,900 with the Dallas Police Department. The Shields of Honor, on the 22nd, is holding their fundraiser beginning and ending at Reno's, my business. We are attempting to raise several thousand dollars for the Fallen Officers Fund through the Assist the Officer Foundation. We have held countless fundraisers. We have donated many, many thousands of dollars on top of a substantial investment in the community. Like I said, we've been there 8 years. We've stayed through the tough times. And we're just now beginning to flourish as a business. The cost involved in getting an SUP runs into the thousands of dollars for us, not including Dallas's fees of about $1,000. And it's a very expensive and time-consuming process. Here's another event, one of 3 that we ran last month. Here's the bill for $20,200 for a young man who lost his leg. And we were able, through 2 fundraisers, we were able to get him a brand new prosthetic and work with the doctor in Fort Worth to get this man up and walking and out of a wheelchair again. Every Thanksgiving, every Christmas, and every New Year's morning, we invite police officers, firemen, and customers and friends and family to join us as we go under the bridges. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's
and
right.
Feed the homeless. I am asking, please, for a 5-year approval.
Got it.
Thank you for this review.
Thank you. Ms. Medrano.
Thank you very much. Sir, I was reading the history on this agenda item. When you went to PCP, did you request the 5-year? I don't see it in the background. It's always been the 3 years, so.
Yes, I did. This is my 3rd time before the City Council. You gave us an 18 month in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
then a 3-year, and I spoke for the 5. And I'm back here now 3 years later to ask.
No, but on this last time that you went to the Planning Commission, did you ask for the 5?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Then, David, can I have a question? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Just stay right there.
Yes, sir.
I know this business well. I don't think that they have issues. I just wanted to know any problems with the police department or anything.
No, ma'am, there's no issues raised in relation to police activity at the location. Going back to 2009, really, or 07, really, when they first occupied the space.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Sir, thank you very much for your leadership and the things that you have done for the community. And I appreciate that that there is, there are no problems. I know your business well. So I would like to make a motion and approve for the 5-year period subject to the site plan and condition.
What I suggest is ask if you'll accept that as a friendly amendment, Mr. Atkins.
Yes.
Second.
Okay, so we have a acceptance of that friendly amendment to the consent. We have that. Thank you, Ms. Medrano. Thank you, sir. Any other discussion on the consent agenda now? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Thank you. We're going to take up items. We're going to change the order in some things. Item 78, I think, is the next item.
Thank you. For item number 78, the following statement applies. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of the case and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Item number 78 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to and renewal of specific use permit number 1609 for a potentially incompatible industrial outside use limited to concrete and asphalt crushing on property zoned in IM Industrial Manufacturing District located on the west side of Spangler Road, north of Manana Drive.
Mr. Mayor, due to the opposition of owners of more than 20% of the land area within 200 feet of their request, it will require a three-quarter vote of council to approve this notice. We did send 16 notices to property owners within 200 feet of their request, received one reply in favor and 6 replies in opposition.
Thank you, Mr. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to defer this zoning case until September 26, 2012, with the public hearing that's open.
Second.
Got a motion and second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move now to item number 76. Item number 76 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a neighborhood stabilization overlay, NSO, on property zoned in R-5A single family district, generally bounded by Canada Drive, Golden Lane, Toronto Street, and Sylvan Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, we did send 337 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area request. We received 54 replies in favor and 36 replies in opposition. Due to the opposition of owners of more than 20% of the land area within 200 feet of the area request, a favorable vote of 3/4 of City Council would be required to approve this.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Grayson has been leading this up.
Mr. Mayor, if I may just clarify for the record that Mayor Pro Tem Medrano and Council Members Alonzo have left the council chamber. They have a conflict of interest.
Thank you. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. This has been a difficult case, but we had some lengthy discussion this morning between both sides, and we have reached a compromise. And what I would like to say before I make my motion is that I believe this is as much about trust and respect as it is about zoning. And I think what we came out of that meeting with this compromise this morning, was a level of trust and respect that I hope goes forward in this case. I want to thank everybody from La Bajada neighborhood who came down here today to support your community and what you strongly believe is what's best for your community. And I would tell you that everyone involved wants that. And so I am going to make a motion that reflects the compromise that we reached this morning.
Excuse me.
Please. I move to close the public hearing and approve the NSO as recommended by the City Plan Commission, but with no change in zoning for the 5 lots to the west of Herbert Street and the 8 lots east of Herbert Street in the area south of Pueblo Street and north of Toronto Street. The 4 lots on the southeast corner of Batan Street and Fairfield Street, the southernmost lot on the east side of Batan Street, and the lot at the northeast corner of Fairfield Street and Batan Street. And that's my motion.
Second.
Got a motion and second. Mr. Atkins?
Yes, and I'd like to thank Sandy and also thank the community and the people who were here today.
If anybody else speaks out, we'll ask them to be removed. Okay, please remove the individual. Please go ahead.
Yes, Mayor, you know, sometimes if you look at a community and you look at public-private partnership, but you also take into consideration of the community. And sometimes what you need to do is balance those scales. This is a great opportunity, you know, for the city of Dallas and the public and the private sector, also the community, to come up with balanceable scale, compromise and see what is best for the community. It's a great opportunity when you sit down and listen to the community. And sometimes they do not agree on everything at the same time. They call them out of trust. And I believe here with this particular city council and with the leadership of you standing, you know, bringing trust. And so the community do trust this council in order to move forward with the developer. So with this, I support this issue, and I think it's a great opportunity for the state of Dallas, but also a great opportunity for West Valley.
Thank you. Now we'll move to a public hearing, Ms. Rios. Go ahead and read your statement, and I'm going to say something first.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. For the record, we do have actually, we just call the regular speakers as usual.
Right.
But you want to make your statement, sir?
Yeah, we're going to have regular speakers as usual on this. I'm under the understanding that both parties endorse this compromise and that no one wants to speak on this. But if you do want to speak, it is a public hearing and people are allowed to speak.
Thank you. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item and with the amendment? Note it for the record.
Right.
Are there any speakers that want to speak in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Davis.
I just want to get an understanding. Whose district is this?
This is Ms. Alonzo.
Okay, then.
Thank you. I will just... with that,
Mayor, could I just mention, Ms. Davis, Ms. Alonzo asked me to carry this case for her. Thank you.
I will say that some writers wrote about the Margaret Hunt Hill Bridge that it was a bridge to nowhere. They were so wrong. The La Bajada neighborhood is a fabulous neighborhood, and what we have happening on the west. In the West Dallas area is so exciting, and thank you for the chamber being here as well and weighing in on this issue. I plan that this compromise will create a stronger La Bajada and that we will be able to implement the great visions that West Dallas Investments has for Trinity Groves. Thank you. I look forward to some of the openings. I know you've actually got some artists moving in over there. And we are going to have a very diverse area. So there's a lot of work to be done yet. But thank you all for your hard work, your patience on this issue. And I want to echo Mr. Atkins and your leadership, Ms. Grayson. Thank you very much. Yes, Ms. Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I recognize the inappropriateness of speaking after the mayor. However,
that's okay.
However, I want to recognize a person who has been a dear friend to the Morgan Hunt Hill Bridge, the entire Trinity project, certainly to the city. She's going to be embarrassed that I recognize her, but I think her contribution should be recognized. I don't think she wants to speak because she's shy about that, but Mary McDermott Cook is in the audience, and Mary, if you want to say a word, Mary, is she permitted to say just one word?
Please.
I just want to say thank you to the city council and for your wisdom in this decision. I am honored to be a part of the city and to contribute to this city. I now live in District 13, but I am moving to District 6, and I am going to have the most phenomenal house with the most incredible view of our city in the world when I get there. I invite each and every one of you to be with
me. Thank you.
And I just say thank you so much.
Thank you.
She indicated it by district. I want to be more specific in the geography. Mayor McDermott Cook lives up in North Dallas in a very large, very nice house where we had tea. She is moving to West Dallas.
Right. Hopefully many more folks will as well. With that, Mr. Davis asked for a record vote on this. So we will have that. Please vote. Ms. Rios is getting it right.
Please start voting. We're lacking one vote.
No, we don't.
Okay, all have voted on the motion. Voting in favor, Councilmember Hunt, McGowan, Davis, Hasso, Caraway, Allen, Coop, Mayor Raleigh, Councilmember Grayson, Griggs, Cadane, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins, and Councilmember Hill, and for the record again, Mayor Pro Tem Medrano and Councilmember Alonzo are absent due to conflict of interest. The motion carries, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Thank you. Next item.
We move back now to item number 70 that was pulled from the zoning consent. And Mayor Pro Tem.
Please, if you exit, please do quietly. We have other business. Thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem Medrano and Councilmember Alonzo may return to the council chamber. Item number 70 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a renewal of specific use permit number 1813 for a recycling collection center on property zoned in IR Industrial Research District on the northeast corner of Sylvan Avenue and Fabrication Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 19 notices to property owners within 200 feet of their request. We received 5 replies in favor and 1 reply in opposition.
Let's go ahead and...
Thank you. Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? Sir, please state your name and address for the record. You do have 3 minutes.
Please, guys, be quiet up there. Sorry, I don't want mean to be a school teacher, but we got work to do. Thank you.
Please proceed, sir.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, my name is Peter Tavern. I'm working with Rigoberto Rosales and Jose Bonilla on the request for an SUP for recycling over on Sylvan Avenue. This business has been located here for 12 years. It has constantly been operated by Mr. Rosales and Mr. Bonilla. They do understand this is an SUP for just a 2-year period. They're in an industrial area. The Dallas plan provides for this to be an industrial area. The Fort Worth plan provides for at some point, maybe about 15 years ahead, for this maybe to convert to a residential or some other kind of a retail area. But until that time, Mr. Rosales and Bonilla wish to continue to operate their business that they've operated here for the last 12 years. I think I'd stop here and answer any questions that you might have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Councilmember Alonzo.
I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to defer the zoning case until September 26th with the public hearing left open.
We've got a motion and a second on deferment. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We proceed now to addendum item number 6. That was pulled for individual consideration by Councilmember Margolin. This is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the creation of a new sub-area within Tract 1 of Plan Development District Number 314, the Preston Center Special Purpose District, on the southwest corner of Douglas Avenue and Northwest Highway.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 53 notices to property owners from 503 their requests. We received 1 reply in favor and no replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Margolin.
I move to close the public hearing and follow the City Plan Commission's recommendation for approval with the following change. No front yard setback is required on Berkshire Lane.
We've got a motion, 2 seconds. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Motion is carried. Any opposed? Excuse me. Motion is carried.
Proceed now to item number 72. Is a public hearing for a CR community retail district on property zoned a TH-2A townhouse district with deed restrictions on the west side of South Polk Street north of Kernwood Drive.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 29 notices to property owners within 300 feet of the request. We received 2 replies in favor and 3 replies in opposition. 2 denial by the City Planning Commission will require 3/4 of City Council to approve.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to deny the item? Thank you, sir. We do have one individual up here. You will speak second. You'll please hold on. We do have one individual getting ready to speak, and then you can come up after. Thank you. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. We're trying to get the PowerPoint to display, is that correct?
Could we maybe have him speak while she's getting the technology ready?
Sir, if you would go ahead and come on up. Again, you'll be allowed 2 minutes to speak. If you'll please state your name and address for the record. And again, those speaking in opposition of the CPC recommendation to deny means that you are in favor of the item. You're in favor of the denial. Okay, then you need to wait for me to call the next set of speakers, sir. Thank you very much.
Sorry.
Audra Buckley, 416 South Irving, Dallas, Texas. I am the representative for the applicant in this case. I'm going to have to look at the screen because it disappeared on my laptop. on your screen, you'll see that this is the subject site where the Star is located. To the north, we have a church. To the south, we have a daycare center. And then across the street, we have an established residential neighborhood. Here's what it looks like from the zoning perspective. Single family daycare, this is what's around. We are on an undeveloped piece of property right now. When this was recommended for denial by staff and recommended by denial from the CPC, I started looking around at some of the other neighborhoods here in Dallas, some of the established neighborhoods, and noticed that there are little pockets of CR all over the place. And went into the comp plan, and it talks about if you have non-residential, you want to make sure that it's not going to be something that's detrimental to the established residential. In this case, we are across the street from established residential with no developed residential adjacency. We don't have any traffic issues according to the city's engineering department. We don't have to worry about traffic parking on residential streets, which is normally a concern associated with a non-residential in a neighborhood area. The applicant in this case is a Dollar General. It's a general merchandise store. It's going to be about 9,000 square feet. They want to do a brick facade so that it's more compatible with the residential area, so it's not quite as intrusive as their typical metal building that they normally build. And the applicant is, I have spoken with them since I was brought in the middle of this. I wasn't on the front end. If I had been, we would have submitted some deed restrictions regarding the design and the landscape as a condition for approval. According to the recommendation for denial, that the issue was encroachment and around residential uses, and I have a little issue with that. We talked on one hand about having people being able to shop, work, and live in the same little areas, which is basically what we're trying to do here. The property owner who owns this also owns the daycare to the south and the resident. She bought this as an investment piece of property, but she's had no one approach her about developing this as residential, and it has sat here vacant for 33 years since the residential was put on here. Get past me. Another reason for the denial was there was some CR to the north and CR to the south. The CR to the north is already developed. The CR to the south contains a direct competitor, and the Dollar General typically has a target market within about a quarter mile radius of the site. The Dollar General is Family Dollar is about a half a mile to the south, but they don't want to be located that close to a competitor. This is the area to the north, and this is the area to the south. We did go out, the property owner went out to talk to the people in the neighborhood and did obtain a petition containing 10 signatures. We had more people in the community that are in support of this rather than opposition.
If you have any questions, the property owner is here as well.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to deny the item? That would mean that you are in favor of the item. Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to deny? Sir, could you please step up? Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is George Coleman. I live at 1108 Mirage Canyon Drive. On your pad map is property number 22. I'm quite aware I've been there since 1975. I work in that community. I live in that community. Got a lot of stake in that community. I lived in, my property was immediately down the street from this vacant lot. On Pocahontas, where there was ample space for retail businesses. Freeland and Polk, ample space for retail business. This retail business would be just in the middle of a residential community. The people who are going to come there don't live there. They got nothing at stake. The owner of the property got nothing at stake, because they're not there. I'm asking this council to uphold the recommendations of the zoning commission to deny this request. Thank you very much.
Are there any other speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to deny? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I want to entertain a motion, Judge Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, my motion is to close the public hearing and to approve the CPC's denial. I share this area with Mr. Atkins. It's in District 5, but it borders District 8. I also live almost within walking distance of where this site is. There is more than ample discount shopping in this area. This is on a very busy street, Polk Street, at Polk and Wheatland. There's an established, as Mr. Atkins, there's an established shopping center that has three discount shopping places in it. At Polk and Camp Wisdom, which is also very near this site, there is a discount shopping center, very similar. This is a saturation of discount shopping centers in a neighborhood that deserves a different kind of retail. The proposed site is the gateway to this community, and the gentleman who spoke is correct. The people who live there are the people who will bear the brunt of this, and they've lived there, established this neighborhood, keep their properties well. We don't need another Dollar General at that location. I'm going to pass, if I may, Mr. Mayor, the microphone to Mr. Atkins, because he also wants to be heard on this issue.
But you did make that motion.
My motion is
to
deny.
Right. Yes. Second, Mr. Atkins.
Yes, and colleagues, when you board the community and you have a college right next to you and you're trying to benefit the duller of the community, and if you know that particular neighborhood on Polk Street going to 20, and we consider 20 in Polk and 20 in Hampton is a gateway to that neighborhood. If you're going to improve the retail shopping, the retail opportunity, the right type of development in that area, you got to make a stand in certain department stores. And I'm counting like Jerry, it's kind of like 2 minute payday lending and cash express stuff, really, when you get a saturated one type of merchandise, and sometimes you put that right in a little neighborhood, it's brain crime, it's brain an opportunity. So that's what it is. But I think that Councilor Hill and myself in the neighborhood do agree that we do want better quality of life, we do want better retail in our neighborhood. In order to do that, we got to start here with his PVC and his staff recommendation in order to make sure that we got better development in our neighborhood. With that, Bronxville, I support you 100% because the neighborhood said the same thing, and I can walk to their store also. Again, thank you for letting me have an opportunity to speak.
Thank you, Mr. Second. Carraway.
Thank you, Mayor, and to my colleague, Ms. Hill, and to Mr. Atkins. And Ms. Hill, you used the word saturation. I'm going to use the word oversaturated. Very familiar with that area. I frequent the area almost daily because I get my medicine from over there. And I shop and do my grocery shopping there. It is a very, very convenient for all types of retail and shopping that's already there. And I'm very proud of that area. The way that you can go and you can go to the Burger King's and to the PetSmart and all of the other shoppings that you have in that area, banks. So everything is already there. This is a move toward oversaturation, I want to say. And I support Ms. Hill and her motion to somewhat kind of say, hey, listen, hold the wagon. We have enough at this particular point and protect the neighborhood. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Carraway. So we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 73 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a D1 liquor control overlay and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store of 3,500 square feet or less on property zone sub-area 6 within Plan Development District number 366, the Buckner Boulevard Special Purpose District, with a D-liquor control overlay on the northeast corner of South Buckner Boulevard and Norvell Drive.
Mr. Mayor, we took 23 notices to property owners from 350 of their requests, received 2 replies in favor and 2 replies in opposition.
Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? One speaker. Ma'am, if you'll please come up to the podium. You will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record, and you will address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Pamela Craig. I reside at 2014 Taylor Street here in Dallas. I would like to request that y'all do approve this motion by the CPC for the approval for 3 years. This gentleman and his brother also own another store over in the Oak Cliff area, and they've been, you know, pretty successful in working with the community and making sure that they keep things around their business in good operation and also that they don't have any trouble there. And we're open for any suggestions from the community if they see something that they would like to have done in that area. So I would like to request that you would approve.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Carraway.
Thank you, Mayor. With what I would like to do, and I appreciate the last speaker that spoke on behalf of this, I would like to respectfully move approval. However, I would like to change it from 3 years to 5 years, given the investment and given the track record of the good operators from this store, and close the public hearing with that. But and one point of personal privilege, if I could, Ms. Hill and Mr. Atkins, Mr. George Coleman is here, Mayor, and I don't know if you all know the background of Mr. Coleman, but he was chairman of the Mullen Branch YMCA, plus he was an official NFL referee from Oak Cliff and from this district, and we might need to have you now with those replacement referees. I want to say that. But Mayor, if we could, my only motion would be to close the public hearing on this and move it from 3 years to 5 years.
We got a motion and a second with that amendment. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 74 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a private stable on property zoned in R-7.5A, single-family district on the north line of Grady Lane, east of Pleasant Woods Drive.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 14 notices, property owners will return fee their request, received 7 replies in favor and 2 replies in opposition.
Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Atkins. So moved. A motion and second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 75 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an R-10A single family district and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property zoned Plan Development District number 57 on the east side of Lakemont Drive, south of Cortez Drive.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 26 notices to property owners with interim fee their request. We've seen 3 replies in favor and 11 replies in opposition to the request. Due to the opposition of owners of more than 20% of the land within 200 feet of the request, or a favorable vote of 3/4 of City Council is required.
Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Sir, if you'll please come down to the podium. Please state your name and address for the record.
Good afternoon, Mayor. My name is Stephen Raines. I reside in District 13 at 9929 Coppage Lane. This is a rental unit that my wife and I rent. I am the petitioner in this request for a zoning change. We want to build a single-family residence on this lot. It has been laid basically fallow for the last 20 years since the plan development was built. It's now overgrown with hackberry trees, and there really is no access to it. That's the reason why we've requested this residential zoning change, so that we could use Lakemont Drive as the ingress and egress to this property. And I thank you for your time.
Are there any speakers in opposition of the CPC recommendation? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Mulgullen.
Thank you, Mayor. I move that we close the public hearing and adopt the CPC recommendation for approval subject to deed restrictions that volunteered by the applicant.
We have a motion and second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 77 is a public hearing for the expansion of Conservation District number 7 on property zoned within the Subdistrict 1 portion of Plan Development District number 830 and the removal of the deed liquor control overlay on the southern portion of the request site zoned within Conservation District number 7 and the Subdistrict 1 portion of Plan Development District number 830 on the southwest corner of Bishop Avenue and Neely Street.
Mr. Mayor, within 25 notices to property owners from 2MC to their request, we received 1 reply in favor and 12 replies in opposition. Due to denial by the CPC and due to the opposition of owners of more than 20% of the land area within 200 feet of the area of request, the favorable vote of 3/4 of council will be required to approve this.
Mayor, we do have individual funders to speak. They will be called first, after which those in opposition followed by those in favor will be called. Your first speaker is Pam Conley.
Let me just a process check. How many speakers do we have?
You have 6 signed up to speak. It's unknown at this time.
Okay. Why don't we take 20 minutes to speak on this? I think that will do that. Could you guys figure that out? I don't want to cut anybody off, but I want to make sure that we... Okay, please. While you guys think about that, we're going to take action up here for a second, and then we'll hear the speakers. Ms. Hossa.
Thank you, Mayor. And again, I want to thank all those people here from Kids Springs Neighborhood Association and those who are with them. This has been a process, and I do want to say that, you know, we probably started it off wrong, and we can learn from this, but let me make my motion and make sure you understand where we are with this. I've answered your letters, I've answered your emails, I've returned phone calls, and so and pretty much we're all in the same boat. So I move to close the public hearing and deny the application without prejudice. I don't want to see the owners come back with a plan for another 12 months. I am directing the applicant to work with the neighborhood and come to a consensus to meet with the neighborhood on appropriate development standards. The issues the applicant may want to address with the neighborhood include the types of uses to be permitted and appropriate limitations on those uses, including limits on floor area and hours of operation. That is my motion.
We've got a motion and a second. Mr. Cadane, did you want to hear something?
Yeah, I just like to comment on this and thank Big very much. She worked very hard on this to try to come to an equitable conclusion. I think you did a very good job, and I appreciate what you did. Thank you so much.
I'm sorry. I used the second from Mr. Atkins.
Yes, also, Deb, thank you. You know, sometimes you know we forget about the community and about the investors, and I want to just give kudos to you and show you that you do know how to work with the community and bridge all the gaps. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McDonald.
Thank you very much, Ms. Hassel. Thank you very much for coming to the office, to my office, and explaining what the whole situation is, and I appreciate all your work you've done on it. Thank you.
All right, so with that, we still all want to speak, I assume, right?
Well, you didn't do much.
Oh, excuse me, I didn't see you. You came up late. Okay. Judge Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, Ms. Mizanano, I understand his eye level is up there, and I'm going to I guess that. Councilwoman Hassel, I too want to applaud you for the enormous amount of work you've done on this, for how you have handled this entire situation, how you've taken time to talk with anybody who wanted to talk with you. You've spent time with us individually as council members. You have truly done yeoman's work on this, and however this comes out ultimately, that will be good for the city and the neighborhood. But my extreme and exceptional compliments to you on your work and the way you've handled it. Thank you so much. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Hill. All right, so how do we want to use the 20 minutes? Should I just start it and you guys just sit down whenever you... Okay, good. Let's hit the 20 minutes and let's get as many people as we can.
Thank you. Now, the timer does go to 10 minutes, then I'll follow up with another 10 minutes. Thank you. Just wanted to clarify that. Please proceed.
Please. Yeah.
Pam Conley, President of the Kids Springs Neighborhood Association. Post Office Box 5212, Dallas, Texas 75208. Here today proudly representing the Kids Springs neighborhood. I'm not going to, most of you have heard what we've had to say, so I'm not going to go through all of it, but Mayor Rawlings missed our people, so we want to introduce them. Neighbors, would you please stand up for them? These are the people who are supporting denial with prejudice. Thank you, Nathan. I want to say a special thank you to, we have the president of the Old Gold Tip Conservation League here supporting us today, Phil Lavin. And we have the new president of the Dallas Homeowners League here, Eloy Trevino. We've been down here, and you know, last time I said get used to this because we will be here again. I didn't expect it would be quite this soon. But anyhow, here we are. And what has changed since last time is that we've kind of lost our sense of humor. The applicant has not worked with city staff, and through the council person, we invited them to our meeting. And the presentation that was made was the same presentation that was made down here. There were no changes, so there's nothing to indicate there's any working with the neighborhood. And frankly, we've used up our days off at work by coming down here. This will be the fourth time that we've been down here now. So we're asking you to deny this with prejudice. I handed you some pictures of our neighborhood. I think there was some concern last time on where this actually fit with the residential component. And so you have the large piece of paper here showing exactly where this is in relationship to our homes. The second page is basically the same thing, but it does show the businesses that are right off of Davis that are in the current CD7. That shows you clearly why we do not want CD7 going up into the neighborhood anymore. And we don't really... I think there needs to be more time for the applicant, and 2 years seems like a very good time for them to come back. We're already facing our next zoning case. Application has already been made one street over in the same block. So we're having to get ready for that now. We're just asking you to please deny this with prejudice. I must stop now, but I do want to introduce our next guest speaker. This is the new director for Preservation Dallas, Mr. Preziosi.
Thank you. I'm David Preziosi, the director of Preservation Dallas. This is my second week, so I'm already getting involved in the issues here. And Preservation Dallas fully supports the neighborhood in preventing the expansion of the conservation district, which we feel will interrupt up there. Which will disrupt the historic character, especially the residential character of the neighborhood. So we are in fully support the Oak, the Kid Springs neighborhood. Yeah. Thank you.
Next speaker.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, council members. My name is Greg Feaser. I live at 806 Woodlawn in the Kid Springs neighborhood. I've been there for 18 years. I'm here to voice my support for the City Planning Commission's recommendation to deny the zoning change. A quick history. The Bishop Davis zoning ordinance was the product of years of study. It was a long and sometimes painful process for all of us. It created TD 830 Subdistrict 1. It was approved by the City Council in 2010. It defined the boundaries of business districts, residential neighborhoods, the buffer zones between them, the allowable use of existing properties, and it designated legacy buildings and structures. Last month, there seemed to be some confusion about exactly where these properties were. This is a quick map showing the two properties in question and the D-control overlay just south of it. That's the street's name. This slide is a brief history of the structure at 627 North Bishop. Built in the early 1900s. The applicant purchased it in 2006. He was the owner during the Bishop Davis zoning study in 2010, and there were no changes suggested at that time. That zoning study designated this structure as a legacy structure. The zoning application was filed in January 2012. At that time, the applicant displaced all the residents in this building, boarded it up, and this is what we have now in our neighborhood. The applicant has emptied this building, boarded it up, and created an unsightly property in our neighborhood. A quick history on the next building of 631. This building was built in the early 20s. The applicant acquired it in 2010. It's under the same zoning change. The house is currently tenant occupied, and this is the eyesore that currently exists under the stewardship of this applicant. Six 11 North Bishop is the property the applicant also owns. It was formerly the only grocery store in our neighborhood. The same structure is now occupied by four businesses that are listed here. The parking lot for 611 North Bishop has a capacity of 68 parking places. Last month, when the applicant was here, he claimed that a new 3,500 square foot restaurant built where 627 and 631 now stand would have 90 parking places available to it. What he failed to mention was that number includes the 68 places already being utilized by the current businesses. This photo shows 45 vehicles in the parking lot. It's filled to two-thirds capacity. I'm not sure when it was taken or what time. I went down there Tuesday morning at 10 a.m., there were 55 cars in the parking lot. That's 80% capacity and 2 hours before the noontime rush for lunch. I'll let you guess where everyone was going to park for lunch. This proposed zoning change concerns us on several levels. It opens the door for zoning creep, it affects the quality of life in our neighborhood, and it affects the stability of our neighborhood. This proposal is zoning creep. Approving this zoning change will set a dangerous precedent for commercial encroachment into our residential neighborhood. Please don't open this door. Once you approve the first zoning change, there will be no stopping further continued cannibalization of our neighborhood. This zoning change will remove the buffer zone between an existing commercial and residential neighborhood. Those buffers existed prior to the 2010 Bishop Davis zoning plan. The zoning plan maintained them. Please don't remove them now. It will affect quality of life in our neighborhood. As you can see by this sign, the reduced parking requirements for commercial businesses have already resulted in what I call parking wars between the businesses. What won't fit in their meager lots overflows onto our residential street. This overflow isn't just the customers of the business, it's also the employees of the business. It results in traffic gridlock. When cars park on both sides of Neely and other streets in our neighborhood, there is no room for oncoming traffic to pass. Emergency vehicle access can be impeded and critical response times can be increased. Please don't contribute to the issues that resulted in the fiasco that was Lower Greenville a few years ago. Let's learn from that past and not repeat it. Lastly, this affects the stability of our neighborhood. I mentioned earlier the work that went into the 2010 plan. That zoning promised our neighborhoods stability and protection from exactly this type of commercial encroachment. It defined allowable property uses, which this zoning proposal will change. It designated legacy buildings, which this zoning will demolish. We want to preserve the architecture and fabric of our neighborhood. We support the City Planning Commission's recommendation to deny this change and deny the removal of the liquor control overlay. And please, I urge you, deny this with prejudice. We are here because we care about this issue. We're not being paid. We had to take off work. This is a hardship on us, but we're here because we care. By denying this with prejudice, we can put it to rest and go on. Thank you very much.
Jean Marie Keith, 706 Woodlawn, Dallas, Texas, 75208. Mr. Mayor, Council Person, thank you for the opportunity to participate in the democratic process. We urge you to support your previous zoning allowances with the Bishop Davis zoning and hold them firm so that the neighborhood can be confident that what we have will remain while we support the business development that's so critical to the Dallas city. We understand that businesses need a place to flourish, but we, the residents, also need a place to live. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, council persons. We urge you to support the city's CPC recommendation of denial and to deny with prejudice. Thank you again for your time and your many drawn-out efforts on this issue, and thank you for the time to participate.
Good afternoon. My name is Brooke Batson of 612 Haynes. I've lived in my house for going on 20 years, and I bought my house in 2006. When the expansive zoning changes proposals of 2010 were approved, private businesses and developers got almost everything they asked for at great cost to the people living in surrounding neighborhoods. Proximity slopes for businesses near single-family homes were changed from the Dallas standard of 3-to-1 ratio to a 2-to-1 ratio. Parking requirements for businesses were lowered from the standard one parking space per 100 square feet to one space per 250 square feet. This change was wholly inadequate to the numbers of patrons frequenting these businesses.
The zoning changes in 2010 were approved by City Council without any of the requested modifications put forth by the Kid Springs Neighborhood Association. As feared, one of the consequences of these changes is that our residential streets are being overrun by traffic and parking overspill from local restaurants. The parking and traffic study requested by Councilman Salazar and approved by City Council at that time has yet to be done. On June 13th, the City Planning Commission recommended denial of the zoning changes requested by this applicant. City staff also recommended denial. 99% of respondents living within the notification area also opposed these changes. On August 9th, a council majority voted with the CPC recommendation denying the zoning request. Now, 4 weeks later, we are here again. Where are the protections for the people living in this community? How is our representative government working for the community at large when private business interests, in this case just two men who do not live in our neighborhood and are already benefiting enormously from the changes of 2010, and they're asking for more changes that will greatly and irrevocably impact the lives of the people who live here. These applicants bought these properties with full knowledge of existing residential zoning. Under their ownership, they have fallen into disrepair. Why have they not maintained these properties? Other businesses in this historic district have maintained their properties. Residents and homeowners have kept their houses up. Why have the applicants not responsibly maintained their properties? Are they unable to maintain them or just unwilling? Let's not reward those seeking to game the system. North Oak Cliff is a rare and distinctive gem in Dallas. It has authentic period architecture that has been preserved. Its singular feel has drawn and will continue to draw economically and culturally diverse populations that make this neighborhood so vibrant. We must take care of it. We must proceed wisely with carefully planned growth, growth that respects the distinctive character of Kid Springs and respects the quality of life for those who live there. Please go with the CDC recommendation to deny this application. Thank you.
I'm Anna Marie Bristow at 802 North Haynes Avenue, and our neighborhood has such beautiful things happen. We have young families investing in the future of their children. They're buying a home, and I like to keep that going. And there's nothing scares more faster than another bar. And so please vote for the for CPC recommendation with prejudice, for denial with prejudice. Thank you. Bye.
Mr. Mayor, Council, sorry we missed you last time, Mr. Mayor. My name is Keith Jasecki. I live at 718 Haynes, about 400 feet from the subject property. Subject property is at the intersection of Bishop and Neely. I own the north side of that intersection, both east and west. I own also a property behind the subject property. I own multiples down both streets on either side, Haynes, Bishop, and Madison. If I really thought this zoning change would be beneficial, as an investor, someone that's lived in the neighborhood since 1967, spent my life there doing what neighbors are told to do by this very body, take root of your neighborhood, be a steward for it. That's what we have done. That's what we are doing. And we're rewarded. I mean, this is just volume one. We've been here. We've been down here a lot of times. Give us a chance, a little rest. Deny with prejudice. Give us some relief. If I thought this would be good, I'd certainly be for it. Thank you for your consideration.
I'm Brooke Dotson. I live at 702 North Bishop Avenue. I live in one of Keith's beautifully restored historic houses. It was built in the 20s, much like the red house that's been boarded up. I remember maybe a year ago when there were people there living, and I really enjoyed them being my neighbors. I think that we need prejudice in this act so that somebody can take that land and restore the house to its former glory in the 20s when it was built as a multifamily home. And there are people that would love to live at that address. I mean, it is prime residential, a prime residential area. And I just hope that we can put this to rest and make sure that there's prejudice so that we're not trying to do this again and whenever. And let's let's restore these homes and get some new neighbors. I'm excited to meet them. And
Mayor Rawlings and council members, my name is Ann Campbell and I live at 710 Haynes Avenue in the notification area for this application. My house is on the top of that picture, number 20. And I'm asking you to help protect our residences from the zoning creep and encroachment by denying this application with prejudice and also denying the removal of the D liquor control overlay. Thank you.
Mayor and City Council members, my name is Cynthia Mulcahy. I live at 704 Haynes. And on this map right here, the properties in question are in the middle, and our house is just right here. So that would make us maybe one house removed from the actual area. I agree with all my neighbors, and I think it's fantastic we've all come down here. I would request that you deny with prejudice the application. Thank you.
Any other speakers? Thanks. Oh.
In closing, we the neighborhood are here. We beseech you to deny with prejudice. We ask you to maintain our neighborhood's integrity. We want business in the area. The Bishop Davis zoning provided that. There are many uses that the property can have. Thank you again for hearing us. Please vote deny with prejudice. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for a great neighborhood in Dallas and everybody coming down here. And you guys have great T-shirts, too, by the way. thank you.
Mayor, let me just say one thing. Again, thank you for coming down here. Kid Springs are one of the two neighborhood associations in the Kid Springs neighborhood. There's also a second one called Kid Springs Central, who I believe are not weighing in on this. I have listened to you, and yes, Miss Marie, I have, Jean Marie. So what I'd like to say right now is that I am going to go ahead and deny this with prejudice, but I want you all to spend these next 12 months. These developers or these owners have already said they want to repurpose these buildings based on the conversations that I've had with them. I urge you to stop being adversarial and listen to the word compromise, because we have never been on the map. North Oak Cliff has never been on the map except when Bishop Arch started the success that it has today. And we're written about in the New York Times, we're written about in the Washington Post. I mean, I don't know what else you would want other than nobody coming into our neighborhood to do anything. So I mean to say that, yes, I move to close the public hearing and deny the application without prejudice. You know that means they have 2 years to come back. So, with prejudice. So they have 2 years to work with y'all, and you have 2 years to work with them. And let's stop being adversarial and see where the word compromise comes in. I know you're getting a lot of information from some one person who knows this ordinance frontwards and backwards, knows the land use study probably frontwards and backwards. So I am making the motion to deny the application with prejudice. You have 2 years. Again, please, please listen to the word compromise. We don't live in Oak Cliff on an adversarial basis of everything that we do. We live in Oak Cliff because we know how to work with other people. So that is my motion. I need a second.
Yes, but let's reclarify, because you have amended your first motion and have it with prejudice. We got a motion and a second. Discussion, Ms. Davis.
Thank you so much. I asked Daya to take me over to see this particular property when it was denied, and she did the same day, and I want to thank you for taking me over there. It's a wonderful historical neighborhood. I used to serve on Preservation Dallas on the board of directors, So I understand about historical neighborhood, and I support historical neighborhood. And I want you guys to continue to work with your council member, Delia Hasso, in this district. I think I'm just amazed how the houses have been just kept up over the years in that neighborhood. So y'all have a wonderful, wonderful neighborhood. And thank you for coming down and standing your ground. That's what neighborhood's supposed to do. And Delia, I want to thank you as well for taking me over there. I saw it, and I just want to continue to work with you on this project. Thank you so much. And can we have a record vote as well, Mayor?
Thank you. Ms. Hunt?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First, I'm so pleased that this is with prejudice. Anyone who's been in a neighborhood fight and who's been feeling that their neighborhood is being encroached on knows how challenging it is to take off from work. You guys are taking off from work today. I know that. I know that you've been to dozens of meetings. I know from talking with you how hard you've worked on this. It takes so much time, and I'll tell you, developers can outwork you. They simply can. They hire folks to do what you're doing. So I congratulate you for this. I've been in your seat before. I know how hard it is to do what you're doing. So keep on keeping on. You have a fantastic neighborhood. I want to thank Preservation Dallas for supporting the neighborhood. You guys are terrific, and I'm glad you weighed in on this. Thank you.
Mr. Carowood.
Thank you, Mayor, and I want to say to the neighborhood, it's great when you have interaction with your council person, and it's great when you all allow to a compromise that is for the benefit of the neighborhood. I want to commend you, Delia, for your leadership in that. We have had a lot of neighborhood discussions on many issues. But it, you know, you really have to step up to the plate and show that leadership and listening to the community. I see you listening to the concerns of the constituents here, and I want to commend you. But I want to commend each and every one of you. As Ms. Hunt said, you guys have taken off from work to come here and have sat through a long council meeting. But you did it for what you believed in, and we hope to have much more of it. My little friend up there, and she knows who I'm speaking about, and I want you all to know, when she comes down to my office, she just smiling. When she comes down to my office, I listen to what she says. She not only brings a switch, but she brings a big old thick razor strap to make sure that her voice is heard. So you have a lot of folks that are working extremely hard. And respectfully, I respect and appreciate you all being here. And Delia, I thoroughly appreciate your leadership in working with this community.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to say, too, I just applaud all of you for your hard work and effort on this. We just had another neighborhood in here from La Bajada who cares deeply about their neighborhood, just as you care deeply about yours. And neighborhoods are the heart and soul of this city. We keep hearing about how business drives this city, but neighborhoods, I just want everyone to hear, neighborhoods are the heart and heartbeat of this city, and you represent that. And I also want to thank Ms. Hasso, because I think she has shown leadership on this. And so, just, I applaud you. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson. Mr. Graves.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to congratulate each and every one of you. You are the heart and soul, and you have great tenacity, and you have an absolutely wonderful neighborhood. So, congratulations.
Thank you. Any other? We'll have Ms. Hasso have the last word.
Thank you, Mayor. And again, my kudos and thanks to you guys. I saw you guys working on the computer on Keith's porch last night as I was driving home from an 8:30 Crime Watch meeting at Martin Weiss. So I know you were working on it last night when I was coming home from a Crime Watch meeting at 8:30. So as you know, I live in the 800 block of Haines near the affected area. And so we are doing as much as possible. I am doing as much as possible to get the traffic out of the neighborhood and move it to the south of Davis. Many of you don't know all the work that we are currently doing in Bishop Arts to get the traffic out of Kid Springs and move it to the south of Davis. That includes 350 employees in Bishop Arts that we're going to move to a remote lot so that those prime spaces are in Bishop Arts now and not in our neighborhood. So just be aware there's a lot of other work going on that you are not aware of. And that unless you invite me and unless you want to come to my office, I will sit down and go over all of the things that we're doing to get the traffic out of Kid Springs. That is something that I'm desperately working on right now. Fortunately, we've got some great people on the development side that are willing to give us some remote parking lots so that we can move the traffic out of Kid Springs. So just be aware there's a lot of extra work being done on your behalf by me so that all of these issues are addressed. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. No more discussion. All in favor? Oh, we wanted to have a record vote was called for, so.
Please start voting.
I don't know. Someone asked for one, so we get it. So. Miss Davis asked for a record vote. Do you want a record vote?
This happened last time. What are we voting on?
Your amendment to deny with prejudice.
Okay. Everybody got that? Why do we need a record vote? All right.
Okay. All have voted on the motion. Voting in favor, Councilmember Hunt, Margolin, Davis, Hosso, Caraway, Allen, Coop, Mayor Rawlings, Councilmember Alonso, Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, Councilmember Grayson, Graves, Cadane, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins, and Councilmember Hill. The motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. Next item.
Item number 79 is a public hearing regarding a proposal to change the name of La Prada Drive East between John West Road on the south and La Prada Drive on the north to Deansgate Lane. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item? Are there any speakers on item number 79? We have no speakers, Mr. Mayor. No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
No speakers. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Davis.
I move to close the public hearing, please.
And approve.
And approve item 79.
Thank you. And we have a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 80 is a public hearing regarding consideration of amendments to section 51A-7.703 of the Development Code to include the ability to request a special exception to the regulations in sections 51A-7.305D regarding window signs and an ordinance granting the amendment. Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor? Please state your name and address for the record, so you do have 3 minutes.
I'm Robert Nicklaus. My business address is 1909 Will Rogers, Suite 500 here in Dallas, Texas. And here I represent Ross Stores in requesting this code amendment. Ross Stores operates hundreds of stores nationwide, including several here in Dallas. They include BD's discount stores. Nationally, these stores rely on a branding strategy that includes showing in their windows the types of clothing products sold inside the stores. Studies have shown that this branding effort can often make the difference between a successful store and a store that failed. The reason for that is a lot of times this is a second or third purpose store going into a shopping center. Other locations may have closed down, and it helps let people know that the business is open and also the type of products that are sold in that store. It gives the public an indication of what's being sold in that store, and they found that this is a make-or-break effort requirement. When Dallas originally prohibited window signs in the upper two-thirds of the windows, We generally supported that. We believe that it's very important for public safety to be able to see into the stores and to reduce the clutter and the tackiness that had been involved in a lot of the window signs that you prohibited. So we're generally in favor of that. What this code amendment does, what we're requesting for you to do today, is a very narrow empowerment of the Board of Adjustment to look on a case-by-case basis. Let me reemphasize that. On a case-by-case basis, graphic translucent vinyl in the upper two-thirds of the windows of business establishments, no lettering, but on a case-by-case basis to approve this sort of branding strategy for stores, not just Ross stores, but any store in Dallas to be able to come before the Board of Adjustment. They're going to need 4 votes out of the 5 to be able to pass that for window signs, to be able to help those stores be successful and go forward. The Board of Adjustment, hit that. And I just wanted to, let me wrap this up real quick. I've got 56 seconds. The Special Sign District Committee approved this after looking at the particular product. The Plan Commission approved this by a 13-1 vote after looking at the particular product. The Quality of Life Committee looked at this twice and approved it on a 3-1 vote. I very much appreciate Councilmember Carraway's leadership in this amendment process. You kept us on task. You put us into a Board of Adjustment. We approved that, and I appreciate you and your efforts. Also appreciate the Plan Department. The Plan Department worked tirelessly with me to make sure that we had this down word for word, letter for letter, so that the general intent of the ordinance was going to be maintained. And yet in this narrow set of circumstances, when these commercial establishments needed this sort of branding strategy, that it would be able to do so, succeed, and put more stores, not just us, but other stores in the city of Dallas. So I ask you to vote in favor of this code amendment to allow the Board of Adjustment this special exception power. And I'll be here for questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Carraway.
Mayor, thank you. And let me say that it's been no secret when we introduced the revisit of our sign ordinance, my position. And this council chose to strengthen our sign ordinance, and especially in District 4 and across the city, there has been a significant difference made as related to the ambience of our retail and strip centers and stores. It has certainly made a difference in District 4. When this was first proposed months and months and months ago, of course, I was totally against it. But after careful review and meetings after meetings after meetings and adjustments and tweaks, these folks have come and have come with something that I'm acceptable with in this house. It goes back to the word and the mayor's word today in the newspaper, compromise. There is nothing wrong with compromise. So in looking at it and dealing with it, and when it came before Quality of Life, we put all of the tweaks in it that we possibly could that would protect just from anybody being able to utilize this type of a process. I am now very comfortable with what is before us, and I'd like to at this time move it forward in the spirit of compromise, but knowing and expressing that if you talk about things, you can find ways to make it work. So I don't know, is this a public hearing? I need to close the public hearing? All right, so I'll move to close the public hearing and move approval on this item.
We have a motion and second. Ms. Alonzo.
I just wanted to clarify, Mr. Mayor, and thank you very much for the opportunity. It is the Honorable Robert Micklow, because he was a former state representative.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? We have one opposed. Thank you. Motion is carried.
Item number 81 is a benefit assessment hearing on street paving, storm drainage, water main, and wastewater main improvements for street group 06-450, and at the close of the hearing, authorize an ordinance levying benefit assessments. We do have one individual signed up to speak on this item, Robert Reeves. Robert Reese is not present. Are there any other individuals in the audience that would like to speak on the item? Any speakers? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Griggs.
On item number 81, move to close the public hearing and approve.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 82 is a public hearing to amend the City of Dallas thoroughfare plan to, number one, delete Westmoreland Road from Wheatland Road to the DeSoto city limit, a four-lane divided roadway within 80 feet of right-of-way, and, number two, change the dimensional classification of Danieldale Road from Old Hickory Trail to Hampton Road from a six-lane divided roadway within 107 feet of right-of-way to a four-lane undivided roadway within 600 feet of right-of-way, and at the close of the hearing, authorize an ordinance implementing the change. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item? Are there any speakers? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Atkins.
Yes, Mayor. So moved. Can I ask Brian? I guess on this particular item, we're talking about Old Hickory. I know we don't have a map, and I know that the city is doing a partnership, national fund on this. Does this reflect the timeline of investment that go with the national fund with these changes?
Yes, sir, and this is all part of the agreement with ourselves, the developer, and Jason Shepard.
Right. Yeah. So is there a timeline still within that 1 year?
Yeah.
I didn't see the dollar amount, but I'm trying to make sure it's the same. With that, I move approval.
Thank you. We have a motion and second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 83 is a public hearing to amend the City of Dallas thoroughfare plan to change the dimensional classification of SMU Boulevard from McCullough Street to Greenville Avenue from a special five-lane undivided roadway within 100 feet of right-of-way to a special five-lane undivided roadway within 87 feet of right-of-way and within existing pavement, and at the close of the hearing, authorize an ordinance implementing the change. We do have individuals signed up on this item. Your first speaker is Hal Hopkins. Your second speaker will be Paul McDonald, followed by Tom Willard. If those speakers are there, would you please go ahead and come close to the podium? After the speakers have spoken, it will be open to the rest of the audience. Again, your first speaker is Hal Hopkins. Individuals, you have 2 minutes to speak.
Okay, thank you very much.
Please proceed.
Mayor Rawlings, City Council members, my name is Hal Hopkins. I am a co-owner of the property located at 5641 SMU Boulevard.
Could you just move your mic down just a little bit? Thank you.
Well, is that better? I have owned this building with my partner since June of 2000, and I have also been a tenant in it since 1997. During the last 10 years, we have seen a number of changes occur in this little small section of street. The installation of dart tracks, dart parking, purchase of a number of properties by SMU on the east side of Central Expressway, demolition of a large lumber yard and construction of the Shelby, which is a luxury apartment complex with a restaurant called the Twisted Root Burger House, the construction and occupancy of Boulevard, which is a very large apartment complex with exceeds over 400 units, as I understand it. This building is directly across the street from our building. All this to say that these things, plus many more, have changed drastically the car traffic and pedestrian traffic in this short section of street. Many more pedestrians are using the sidewalks and streets as they walk to DART or SMU from their parked cars and to new restaurants. The restaurants in the last 2 years have increased close to 100%. Okay. residential occupancy has gone from zero to over 500 residents, all within a 700-foot stretch of roadway. Can you imagine the city block where you live adding over 500 new residents? Imagine the traffic. Well, in addition to these changes, SMU Boulevard is a well-used thoroughfare to the dark parking lot on Wakulla. It will become a highly used road that will also be open to the George Bush Library and carry traffic to the ever-expanding campus of SMU. All this to say that the city of Dallas at this time should not consider decreasing the amount of right-of-way from 100 feet to 87 feet. As the property comes on SMU Boulevard for many years, or as a property owner of SMU Boulevard for many years, I believe much more time should be given and devoted to studying the traffic situation on SMU Boulevard before giving away this 13 feet of right-of-way. Once it is given, it will be difficult for the city to ever get it back, if it ever can. I also want to say that efforts are underway to study and possibly implement a plan. Just to say that the city is studying a plan right now to use 100 feet of right-of-way. So why give away 13 feet of 100 when you are planning to use it here in the future?
Thank you.
The next speaker is Paul McDonald.
My name is Paul McDonald. I'm the co-owner of the property at 5641 SMU Boulevard. And I'd like to ask that we just postpone making any changes or approving this. The apartment complex across the street from us has just opened as of 15 days ago, and everyone has started moving in for SMU. The traffic has tripled, it appears, in just a short period of time. It is packed down there. And with this, taking it from 100 feet down to 87 feet, Hal was correct. I mean, we'll never get that back. This decision needs to be postponed until we actually see the impact of this area. We still have one more restaurant getting ready to open probably in the next 30 days. I was a little bit more prepared. We did not know about this till a couple days ago. The notice to us was mailed to a physical address, not to our mailing address. It comes to our building, but we have 8 tenants in our building that never got to us. Our next door neighbor, who is the other gentleman that's going to get up and talk, actually brought us a letter and said, "Have you seen this?" So we're a little bit shocked, but it's not that we don't want progress. We just want this to be studied a little bit longer, because, again, this is just one more restaurant getting ready to open up. When the Bush Library opens up in the fairly near future, this is going to be a very, very lot of traffic on our street, and we don't want to give up any of the viable area. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is Tom Willard.
Hello. My name is Tom Willard. I'm the general manager of Milo Butterfingers, and I'm here speaking for Ned Smith, the owner. And I've been running Milo Butterfingers since 1982. And it was Yale Boulevard was our address in, and it was a two-lane road. And who would have ever thought back then that it was going to be what it is now? Who would have thought that they were going to need a five-lane road in front of us?
But sure enough, they came by. They took. We had head-in parking on both sides of the road. They took all our head-in parking. They widened Yale Boulevard, and progress marched on. Well, now let's move forward. Now we've got apartments across the street. We've got restaurants. We've got the huge George Bush Library on the other side of the road. The main entrance into SMU is SMU Boulevard. Comes all the way from Greenville Avenue, goes straight into SMU. There is a lot of traffic. There's a lot going on. And I think that it is very short-sighted of the city to limit their possibilities right now by reducing the right-of-way from 100 feet to 87 feet. Now, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what... Last weekend was the busiest I've ever seen that street, and we still have a business that hadn't opened, George Bush Library. I have read that George Bush Library will bring 1 million people a year over to it. That's 80,000 people a month. That's a lot of people coming in. A lot of them are going to be coming down SMU Boulevard. So I think that we should hold off making any changes, and when we do make a change, let's have a grand plan in hand. I've talked with several people about the planned boulevardizing of SMU Boulevard, putting an esplanade down the middle, doing things on the side of the street. How are they going to do that when they reduce the scale of what they've got to work with? As mentioned earlier, they were working with 100 feet. Now we're talking about cutting things down to 87 feet. I can appreciate the problems that the businesses have on the other side of the street. They've built on without prior approval onto the city right away, and now they're having a problem operating legally. They're operating legally. Let them keep on operating. Just let them keep on doing whatever they're doing now until we know what's going on. Let's keep the right-of-way as big as it is. And if for some chance something happens, if you give that right-of-way away, it's putting the burden on the people on the north side of the street who've been there forever. You're taking away from the people that have been there, giving it to the people who just stepped on the block. So I want y'all to please reconsider this and definitely, at the very least, postpone this decision, but at the most, I ask that you totally vote against it. Do not give up any of the city property, because we're not going to be able to get it back. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers on the item?
Yes, my name is Richard Sheridan, and I would just like to second what Mr. Willard just said. Mr. Willard works for a very well-known, well-established pub in Dallas. It's been there for many years. One of its claims to fame is that part of the scene, part of the movie JFK was filmed there. So again, please listen to a business establishment, Milo, that knows what they're doing. Thank you very much.
Are there any other speakers? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and I'll be moving to approve this item, but I just want to clarify something, because I think there may be some confusion. This street is not going to change in size by 1 inch. There aren't going to be fewer lanes on this street, not by 1 inch. What's going on here is there is a patio that one of the businesses wants to have that's a little bit in the right-of-way. On the sidewalk, okay? Just to be clear, it's on the sidewalk. And so what we're doing is we cannot grant a license for someone to be in the right-of-way on a temporary basis. We have to actually abandon this small sliver. It's actually, I know it sounds big on here, it sounds like we're abandoning 13 feet of the whole street. We're not. It's a very small sliver of area. So that we can have a provide a permanent easement to the city and also allow them to operate in that area. But I just want to assure the owners over there, and I want to get together with you guys and make sure that you talk to these folks over here, because I'm looking at the map. It doesn't change the configuration of the street at all. I mean, it doesn't. And if there's some factual disagreement we have, we need to come over here. But I'm telling you, the staff back me up. Ryan, correct?
Yes, ma'am, you're correct.
Keith? Okay. So I move to approve, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Sessions, yeah. I'm sorry. And Angela, and I did look at the plat, and I kind of agree with you, Angela. You know, which we're talking about the sidewalk, that in order for the patio to go there, we need kind of remove the sidewalk in order for the business to go there, to get there. It's not taking away the right of way at all. You're not narrowing the street down at all. And Teresa, would you just come up and just put on record that what we are saying, that Angela said is saying correctly, so there will be no misunderstanding for the owners and for us. So could you just explain exactly what we're doing?
You're exactly right. This is an exciting area. We've seen a lot of changes. There's a new multi-story apartment complex, multi-use apartment complex under construction right now. Because of the topography of that particular site, Greenville is much higher than Yale, so there's a very severe slope. So the patio and the sidewalk have to be protected by a retaining wall. Well, those improvements are permanent improvements. We don't license permanent improvements. We have to do an abandonment. So this is typically you see something handled through a license, but because of the nature of the topography and the extent of the improvements being made, it'll have to be handled through an abandonment. Now, the functional classification is not going to change. Curb to curb does not change. The number of on-street parking spaces does not change. All that capacity is still there. The only thing that is different is we now have a retaining wall and a sidewalk cafe in something that would normally be in a license.
Well, and great. And I know the SMU is playing Texas A&M. I wish the patio was ready for that to spur the sales tax for us. But it's a good thing to do that. And we are trying to work with you, not against you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any other further discussion? All in favor say yes, aye, whatever we're doing. And any opposed, no? Motion is carried.
That concludes your items, Mr. Mayor. We now proceed with your afternoon speakers. Your speakers will begin with Ozumba Lunt, Richard Sheridan, William Hopkins, Robert Ceccarelli. I'll first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, all who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the Sergeant-at-Arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Again, your first speaker is Ozumba Lunks. Ozumba Lunks will be followed by Richard Sheridan, Mr. Hopkins is barred, Robert Ceccarelli, LaCoya London, Lakeisha Johnson. Please proceed.
Yes, Council, Mayor. My name is Minister and Chief Ozumba Nwadalu Lunks, Chief of the Texas Afro-American Igbo Tribe. You know, I've been coming around here about 9 years now, probably going on 10. You know, Dallas police abused me in 2004. I went to the jail. They did too. Loosed up. I had counsel. They didn't get to take my medicine with me. They went to telling lies down there about they put me in the medical part of the jail, but they didn't. You know, I'm a graduate of the police academy. There were certain things that I was told to do, not to do, about report writing and a lot of things. And I know that was wrong in what they did. I know the DART was wrong when they put cuffs on me when I was picking up cans with a golf club, said I had a weapon. I know that they were wrong when they stopped me and gave me a ticket crossing downtown by Central. Then I walked the red light. After you cross halfway across that street and you three steps from going up on that curb, you are not to be written a ticket. I went to the police academy. I know the rules of this stuff. A lot of stuff that happened to a lot of my people and other people is harassment from police officers that are anxious to move. Police officers, just like everybody else, they're good, they're dirty, they're bad, just like everybody else. The judge is the same way. You know, I believe in God, And I was taken through a lot of pain. I went to court, like I said, 13 months was thrown out. I told the judge, I said, if you find me guilty, I want to pronounce my sentence. The lawyer looked at me like I was crazy. I said, I want to pronounce it because I'm going to take more than what my sentence that you would give me. She said, what's that? I said, if I'm guilty, tell the judge I want death. She looked at me like I was crazy, and that was the day the judge threw it out. But you know, I'm not afraid of death. But like I said, I could have died in the military. I could have died several times out here. But you know, I look at the system. People are not qualified to be judges and leaders. A lot of them are not. Some are. And you know, I feel sorry for the people, and I pray to God that people would learn how to really be good judges and things, because you don't have them do it to you, and you're judged the same way you'll be judged, you'll be judged. So I'm saying we have to learn how to treat people, you know. And Dart, the state of Dallas and the county, you still owe me $1 million. You want to put your hand on me and I didn't do anything? Well, then you laugh at me. You disregard me. You act like you don't see me. You act like you don't hear me. That's fine. But God heals me. And I know that God is with me, because a lot of things I've been praying for have been transpiring all over. I'm not going to tell you how, because it'll scare you, and then you don't want to hear it. But it's been happening. Yeah. You hurt. Things in your family don't go well, whether you believe in God or not. Who is that? Who's doing it? Mother Nature. Who is Mother Nature? I know God is over everything. I don't know who Mother Nature is. But hear me. You better understand what's going on, because I was done wrong, and I'm going to keep standing. I'll be here until I kick. God bless you all that are God's children.
Your next speaker is Richard Sheridan.
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Rich Sheridan. I live at 302 24th Lane, Dallas, Texas. I changed my speech from the top 10 reasons 9/11 was by our government, and that would be a rogue group within our government, to a firefighter's letter to his fellow firefighters on 9/11. 9/11 is a very serious matter, a very emotional matter. Perhaps the best way to state my position, the position of many firefighters, the position of many police officers, the position of the families of the near 3,000 that died that day, and the 400 dead and thousands of diseased first responders from a mysterious cancer, and the position of the now majority of the American people, is to read a letter from a lieutenant firefighter to his constituency, appealing to them to join in with the call for a second investigation. And this is Lieutenant Vod Walker, served in Fire Department of New York, Ladder 26, Rescue Company 3, Rescue Company 1, Engine 92, Ladder 82, Ladder 101. He was awarded the Merit Class 1 Award, the Prentice Medal. Quote, fellow firefighters, a great tragedy befell our community on September 11, 2001, an unprecedented 343 deaths in the line of duty. As horrible as that toll is, if there were a rational explanation for it, we could accepted and mourned. We all understand the risk we accepted when we took the oath of office that chance made might cut short our lives when we placed ourselves in harm's way in the public service. This is why we are paid, and it is our honor. However, in short, the official explanation of the events of that day are not sufficient. They are fantastic and cannot bear rational explanation. We are asked to believe that on that day, three structural steel buildings, which had never before in history collapsed because of fire, fell neatly into their bases at speed of gravity, their concrete reduced to dust. We are asked to believe that jet fuel kerosene commenced melt steel. We are asked to believe that the most sophisticated air defense system in the world that responded to 68 emergencies in the year prior to 9/11 in less than 20 minutes allowed an aircraft to wander for about an hour and a half. We are asked to believe that steel and titanium components of an aircraft that supposedly hit the Pentagon evaporated. There is much, much more if anyone cares to look into it. Trade Tower number 7 by itself is a smoking gun, not hit by an aircraft with only a few relatively small fires. It came down in a classic crimp and implosion. Going straight into its basement. Something only very precise demolition can accomplish, which takes days, if not weeks, to prepare. The 9/11 Commission didn't even mention it, and FEMA actually stated they didn't know why it collapsed and left it at that. Brothers, I know that the implications of the above are hard, almost unthinkable, but the official explanation is utter nonsense
and 343 murdered brothers are crying out for justice, demand a genuine investigation into the events of September 11th, end quote, by Lieutenant Anton Varka, and God bless the Fire Department of the City of New York. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We do have several speakers. If you're scheduled to speak, would you please come closer to the podium and allow an easier lineup on the speaker queue? Your next speaker is Robert Ceccarelli. Mr. Ceccarelli will be followed by LaCoya London, Lakeisha Johnson, Marvin Crenshaw, Otis Fagan, Roy Williams, Wayne Wooten, and Robert Jones.
Yeah, Robert Ceccarelli, 2218 Millwood Drive. Can you please give that to the mayor? Can you give that to the mayor, please? The first information I gave you is information about a lady named Angela Acock I mentioned last week. It's about 20 pages long. All right? The graduate in 91 I told you about. Sir, I know the family. They're very, very distraught about how they've been treated over all these years. She's a legend. Her jersey got retired at the University of Kansas. Sir, I'm asking you if you could try to contact her and the mother. It's a very sad story. I gave my email address, phone number. I gave her Angela's mother's phone number. Please try to get her involved. She's just sitting at home. And I want you to, hopefully, if she can come to Lincoln High School, she'd be a motivation and inspiration to every lady at Lincoln. She's the greatest woman high school basketball player ever come out of Dallas. I'm asking you because you're involved at Lincoln. Thank you. The second one, sir, has to do with Chicago. As you know, there's a big strike going on right now. It has to do with the accountability of teachers with the standardized test scores. As you know, Mr. Miles is a big thing right now. Lincoln, sir, I'm going to say this again. I was the one to implement a Lincoln High School of tutoring after each period. Sir, this will definitely help out what's going on with the schools at Lincoln and help make sure that the teachers get a fair evaluation of all the students. The big problem with high schools is that the principals are worried about the standardized test scores and not about AP classes or college prep classes. And also, sir, it helps out with students that don't show up for tutoring. They will be there for every tutoring session because they have a half hour after each class. They're unprecedented. Sir, I wish you would check into it. As you know, as my sheet says, Mayor's homework assignments. Please check with Tonnell Hobbs and remember Colleen Nelson. Please check into it, sir. Please get back with me. Also, the third assignment is about the bridge. The bridge had talked about about the air conditioning. There was no fluke that there was no air conditioning at the bridge, and it was a strategic move, sir. That bothers me very much because it seems like you set the homeless for failure. I wish it would tell me, let me know what's going on with that. Also, I'd like to know about the money mismanagement at the bridge. I've heard it from many, many clients. I brought it up a few weeks ago. And please, sir, let me know, but please, about the air conditioning at the pavilion. It was in the Dallas Examiner. It was done on purpose. I'd like to know why. Can you please get back to me next week with all these four things, sir? I really would appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Your next speaker is LaCoya London. Not present. Lakeisha Johnson is not present. Marvin Crenshaw. Mr. Crenshaw will be followed by Otis Fagan, Roy Williams, Wayne Wooten, and Robert Jones.
Good afternoon. Marvin Crenshaw, 5134 Malcolm X, Dallas, Texas. I was just doing some reflecting the other night and doing some writing, and I was just remembering some things that happened when the 1987, May 1987 congressional hearing came in. And I remember around 3 o'clock one morning, I got a call, and it was from a mayor, one of the mayors of Dallas, and he just was screaming, Marvin, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I mean, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I said, you didn't do what? At first, I said, who is this? And he told me. And he said, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I said, you didn't do what? And he just screamed on and on about he didn't do it. But I knew it had something to do with the one of the controversial police shootings. And he just hung up the phone. But I just wanted to basically talk about the history of citizens review boards in the city of Dallas. In 1974, there was an activist by the name of Fred Bell, who's known as Fahim Mencken, trying a provision within the Dallas City Charter that three or more citizens could file a sworn complaint against a civil service employee with the civil service board. Mr. Mencken was known for doing the same thing we're all doing now as far as police shooting. Mr. Mencken found three citizens, Marvin Crenshaw, Deborah Molot, and Charles Hillman, to file a sworn complaint against several officers. A member of the Civil Service Board by the name of Jewel Manzay was on the board, and he pushed for it to be heard. Before all of that could happen, Mr. Mencken was arrested, put in jail. The city of Dallas had an election, and that part was stricken from the city charter, and we have problems now. I just want to talk a little bit about James Harper also. From my investigations and talking to people, Mr. Harper had several altercations with police officers before, and he was known as a runner. He never did try to fight the police officers, no shooting and all this other stuff. He was known as a runner. He was 6'10", 273 pounds, ex-quarterback from Lincoln High School, and was very agile. All this trying to paint Mr. Harper as as somebody that was, I guess, going to fight the police is dead wrong. If you look at those reports, when the officers came to that house, they saw a weapon. They said they saw a weapon on the table and drugs on the table. But also, if you look at the police report, there was three or four other weapons in that house, and they fled, left all the weapons there, and didn't try to shoot the police. But I'm alleging this: by the time when they were jumping those three fences, by the time they're about to apologize, I can jump over those myself. But by the time he got to that third fence, Mr. Harper was shot in the back. When I say in the back, I say from the back, not in the back. He was shot from the back. I'm alleging that those officers, that officer, they beat Mr. Harper because he had lacerations. Nothing happened to that officer. I'm alleging then he was shot again, and I think that before it's all over, we want to speak. So thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
The next speaker is Otis Fagan.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Council. My name is Otis Fagan, and I'm here to tell you that we are now in the process of introducing you to the reasons for all of our visits to the Council in the past 3 years, which was to get acquainted with our court-ordered attorney, to get acquainted with our lawsuit that was filed by our attorney, and to get the court-ordered benefits for the defendant's paid public health program that was ordered by the court to be paid by the city of Dallas to the individuals who survived in West Dallas. The attorney said this has already been taken care of. However, all the survivors of the West Dallas community, 15,000 of them, signed affidavits with me to speak for their interest before you concerning the public paid program that the defendants were supposed to pay for. I have a list of 1,500 individuals in the organization that I have who have not been compensated for their losses incurred from being exposed to the lead that the city of Dallas pumped into the West Dallas area. The court ordered you to pick up their expenses, pay their bills in the court order. And of course, I have my medical documentation showing where I've supplemented for you the payments on all of my bills. I would like for you to reimburse me for my losses incurred from your lead poisoning and my medical condition, along with the rest of the community. We have 15,000 survivors who are entitled to be compensated. We have 1,500 in the organization who have submitted paperwork with the Attorney General's office on the crime victims' compensation to try and recover their losses incurred from the lead. And of course, I'm on the victims' compensation list. I'm also here directly applying to you or to give this information to the city attorney, who has already stated that he would accept a waiver signed by us, the members of the community, to get our building records from Parkland to pay those bills. We are here to offer the initial opening of that process with the pharmaceutical bills that we have supplemented and paid for the city of Dallas all these years and up to this date. So we are trying to start that process with you all whenever you decide you're ready to listen or understand what we're talking about. The court order required the city of Dallas to pick up our medical bills, pay them, submit them to RSRA for reimbursement for them. So we are ready for the process to begin. City attorney, it's up to you to lead with us.
Thank you.
At your discretion.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next speaker is Roy Williams.
Good afternoon. My name is Roy Williams, resident at 5881 Preston View Boulevard, District 11. I'd like to give thanks and praise to the Creator that we're here today to see that justice is served for the people and for this council as well. First of all, I think it's imperative that we continue in the direction we're going on the national level, and I urge all citizens, I'm supporting Barack Obama for president, and I urge people to go and vote for it, even vote for President Obama, not but at least keep the process open. Secondly, December 21st, according to a lot of ancient tradition, is the earmark for a global change. There is going to be earth changes that we have never experienced before, according to the Hopi prophecy, the Mayans, the Navajo, the Cherokee, and other indigenous tribes. And the reason I say that, Mr. Mayor, is simply because public safety may become a main issue if there is disruption in our environment, such as earthquakes, tsunamis, tornadoes, etc. All this is happening even as we speak. But the irony is that it has never happened in this era, at this time, when we're coming to the end of the 26,000-year cycle. What does that have to do with the Dallas police? I want to make sure that the best public safety organization in Dallas is on the ground. And what I mean by that, when we had the congressional hearing here in 1987, as alluded to by Mr. Crenshaw, the city of Dallas commissioned the Alpert group out of Florida. And this is their report, Mr. Mayor. I urge each council member would get a copy of this and look at it. And out of that report, they concluded that the city council concluded that there were five areas they want to look into. And those areas are, one, the police officer's application selection process, two, teaching methods and materials on the use of deadly force, three, shoot and don't shoot training, four, weapons training, and five, policies relating to the use of deadly force. As I previously stated to this group, that I, Pattis Norman, and Mr. Charles Carroll flew at the request of former Mayor Annette Strauss to L.A. and visited with that LAPD for one full day on these issues. Mr. Mayor, I'd like to request from you personally, from me to you, on some accords that I feel that is necessary. One, can I get a copy of the training manual from the academy? I'm requesting that from you, Mr. Mayor. Number two, can we get the mobile storefronts that we had? We know you got seven mobile units that cost in excess of $250,000. What are they doing? We have resources that I feel that we're not using adequately. May I request 30 seconds, Mr. Mayor? One minute. Secondly, Mr. James Harper being shot by Brian Roden. Has Officer Roden been suspended? Is he on the desk? Is he still on duty? We don't know any of these questions, so I'm requesting this from you, Mr. Mayor. What's the status of Officer Brian Roden. Also, I think that it's meaningful to get a storefront such as a mobile unit or either a fixed fixture, simply because it bridges the gap between the police department and the community. If there's no vehicle of communication there, then we have what we have now. We feel that the police are foreigners coming into our community, and so there's no bridge there, Mr. Mayor. We definitely need a bridge. And furthermore, I'd like to commend Ms. Hunt, she's not in her seat, on her statement this morning in the morning news, that if you don't recognize that there are problems, you can't fix it. And I'm here to say that the Dallas Police Department doesn't recognize that it has a problem. But those of us that have been monitoring these types of actions, police shootings such as happening in Dixon Circle and others, we know that that's a problem.
Thank you,
God bless.
Appreciate it.
The next speaker, Queen Wooten, is not present. Your final speaker is Robert Jones.
Either Mr. Mayor and to City Council. My name is Robert Jones. I live in Box Springs on 3211 Hickory Tree Road. The City Secretary has already passed out a copy of a form that I filed earlier today along with my medical prescription. I am here also to sign a waiver, also to request be paid of the losses that I have also incurred throughout the lead poisoning in living in the West Dallas area. I'm prepared also to meet with the city attorney. We look forward to meeting with him to receive payment and to sign also a waiver for our medical bills that we have incurred losses with. We're looking forward to this, looking forward to meeting with him, and we're looking forward to your immediate response to see to it that you set the ball just rolling and that you all may follow the court order and the procedure that needs to take place. And we're not going to take up your time. We just let you know that we appreciate in advance your speedy answer to this situation. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I conclude your speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. And before we adjourn, I just want to tell the council next Wednesday, in our briefing session, we will be briefed on security as council members, and they'll be kind of running some things, so you might want to dress accordingly, a little bit more comfortably, because I think this is physical stuff. Mm-hmm. So that will be next Wednesday. We're here in the briefing room, but it's going to be there. Yeah, ladies wear pants. I don't tell ladies what to wear, though. It's a dangerous thing.
I suggest the councilwomen to wear pants.
Meeting adjourned at 3:14. Thank you. Bye.